You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
This is The Money Show. I'm Bruce Whitfield. Welcome to The Money Show this evening. On what has been a tumultuous day for South Africa, we've got a new crop of ministers. This is The Money Show. And naturally, we're going to focus on the big one, the finance ministry, the removal of Pravin Gordhan and Ntlisi Jonas from their portfolios as minister and deputy minister. Malusi Gigaba is the new minister of finance. The former PRASA executive, Sifiso Buthelezi, is the deputy. We've got lots of guests this evening, lots of people to share their views. Let's get straight into it tonight. Colin Coleman is the managing director of Goldman Sachs South Africa, also on the CEO initiative. Your response to the tumultuous events of the last 24 hours in particular, Colin?
Hi, Bruce. Well, it's very shocking and distressing what we've witnessed in the last day. It's akin to really shooting ourselves in the foot and placing our investment grade rating and our economy and jobs at risk. Unfortunate for South Africans, I'm sure, but let the truth be told.
Yep, the truth is that we do face considerable headwinds now. The headwinds that were being perhaps pushed back by the finance minister and his deputy in the planned meetings in London on Monday and Tuesday, then in the United States toward the middle of this week. Those meetings, of course, were cancelled at short notice. That wouldn't have done anybody any good as the finance minister and his deputy and the DG try to calm concerns about policy certainty in South Africa. That certainty has just been flushed down the toilet.
Well, the interesting thing, actually, is that this has nothing to do about policy. If it did have something to do about policy, that would feature in the June conference of the African National Congress. It's got to do with shuffling the deck chairs to put in place the people that will do the president's bidding, which is his right. But obviously, there will be consequences if, as seems to be the case, the ruling party doesn't have consensus about the desirability of this position. Certainly from a business point of view, removing a well-functioning, extremely competent, and many think brilliant finance minister, deputy finance minister, is a step backwards. It's a step backwards for all of our economic objectives, and the rating agencies have been looking at our institutional stability, growth, and fiscal consolidation must be asking lots of questions right now.
Would you cooperate? Do you continue to remain part of the CEO initiative, this initiative that was created? It came out of Davos in January last year. It was born in Cape Town with a pre-budget meeting and plenty of meetings last year, plenty of discussions, successfully pushing down the line the downgrades in June last year and December last year. Will you remain part of that? Will you be supportive of Malusi Gigaba?
We've had initial discussions about the work of the CEO initiative, and our view is the work of the CEO initiative is in the interest of all South Africans, and we should continue acting in the interest of all South Africans. So I don't think we will hit the pause button on it, but obviously we need to check in with the authorities that the work that we were doing joined at the hip with the National Treasury and the ex-finance minister in their minds should continue.
Thank you, Colin Coleman, who is a managing director of Goldman Sachs South Africa, also part of the CEO initiative. So the CEO initiative remains intact, and that's very good news this evening. It's too late for I told you so's, but as somebody who did tell us so a long time ago, probably 6-7 years ago now, was Royal Khoza. Then he was chairman of Nedbank. He wrote 130 word prophecy, I'm going to call it, Royal Khoza. You did warn us that this day would come. A lot of people shouted you down. A lot of people pilloried you. But you could see it coming a long time ago. Good evening to you, Royal Khoza. What's your response this evening?
No, good evening, Bruce. Thank you very much for the opportunity to express some opinion. One could very well say, I told you so, but I mean, one is not about that. The idea, even at the time, was to make a contribution towards ensuring that our leadership actually serves the national interest and are not self-serving. But what has happened in the past few days, particularly what happened at midnight or shortly after midnight last night, is a vicious attack on integrity, probity, diligence and dedication to serving the national interest. as epitomized by both Pravin Gordhan and Mkhwebisi Jonas. In parallel to that, lamentably, it's evidence of the elevation of mediocrity to the status of virtue, you know, personified by both Faith Mutambi and Batabile, representing just about everything that is not virtuous. Mediocrity is now elevated, and it's clear that the president was not, you know, taking the statement that he made about clever blacks in a derogatory manner lightly. So it is not so clever blacks that are elevated to the status of leadership, and it's a very, very sad day in the life of our country. He has, by doing what he has done, paved the way, if you like, to kleptocracy. And unless the citizenry stops it, the nation will be on a hiding to nothing. We're now virtually certain to be downgraded to the junk status. It's going to be open season to parastatal looting. And as I said, you know, it's a total rebuff to the pursuit of excellence by the nation.
I mean, one looks at the downgrade scenario, and we do know that at least one of the ratings agencies this afternoon warned that it is going to be paying closer attention now to the ratings issue. Fitch warning that it could hit the debt ratings. I mean, so serious is the situation that Mulusi Gigaba, even before he was sworn in, which is happening this evening in Pretoria, had a conference call with at least one of the ratings agencies. I mean, this is, we know the risk, we understand the risk, and yet the president pulled the trigger on this.
I think that's where, you know, the whole thing, you know, smacks of a leadership that is even beyond embarrassment. The president is supposed to be knowing that. The president also has to be supposed to be consulting with his fellow leadership. But as we learned today from Gwede Mantashe, these fundamental changes, untoward changes, were done in some secret corners, announced at midnight as if by a classical thief, without the ANC or even the top six of the ANC knowing or concurring or being given an opportunity to advise one way or the other.
Ruel Khoza, I thank you, former chairman at Nedbank. Thank you very much on the line to us from Mpumalanga this evening. There were some extraordinary scenes today. And I'm part of me feels a little bit sorry for Mulusi Gigaba and for Sifiso Buthelezi, because when they arrive at the office on Monday, the echoes of a struggle song, which was sung spontaneously by hundreds of Treasury staff, as they came to say farewell, did Pravin Gordhan and Mkhwebisi Jonas. Staff burst into Senzeni Na, and this is a recording of that. I mean, translated means, what have we done? It's been sung at funerals, demonstrations, churches since the 1950s. And you just listen to that rousing send-off that Pravin Gordhan and Mkhwebisi Jonas got at the National Treasury earlier today. And you've just got a sense of it, that there you have a staff of people who've been working very, very hard for the last 14 or 15 months with Pravin Gordhan and Mkhwebisi Jonas. Clearly, there's a very strong rapport at the leadership that has been presented by these two gentlemen at the peak of the National Treasury. And Mulusi Gigaba and Sifiso Buthelezi, when they arrive at the office on Monday, are going to have an uphill struggle to win over and win the confidence of these staff, who are completely attuned to the attempt in December 2015 to implant Des van Rooyen, he was still in government, into the National Treasury. Then they were in broad panic. Today there was almost a sense of celebration of what had been achieved at the National Treasury over the last 15 years. Sure, there must be deep concern in the National Treasury, so much so that Mulusi Gigaba did make that call today. And thank goodness he did. I'm glad he's taking the job seriously. But about 100 billion rand today was wiped off the value of shares in banks. The bank index down about 6% on the day. The managing director at the Banking Association of South Africa, Kaz Kuvadi, who sounded down in the dumps when we spoke to him earlier this week. Kaz, the unthinkable Mark II has happened.
Well, Bruce, I'm not too sure whether one can characterize it as unthinkable. I guess it had an inevitability about it, I guess. So I think that's probably the tragic part of it. It's not too surprising.
And bank shares reflecting what the currency has not really been reflecting, and that's a widespread panic, certainly in the equity market, that bank shares, banking companies that run banks, are going to be hard hit if and when a downgrade comes. And the movements in the market today suggest a downgrade is practically inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, banks obviously get downgraded automatically if the sovereign gets downgraded, and now we're looking at downgrading into sub-investment grade. Significant impact for banks in raising funds, in cost of funds, in cooperative relationships with other banks in other countries, erosion of confidence from the point of view of investors. So this is serious stuff, and it flies in the face of everything that the CEO Initiative and others have been working with Minister Gordon and Deputy Minister Jonathan. And he's got to beg the question, why? Because it can't be. What's happened, it can't be in the national interest. And this is no, we'll work with Minister Gigaba. I know Minister Gigaba. I've worked with him before. And we will work with him. But it begs the question, and it's what Rokosa raised. Two people doing a great job, why take them out? And then why leave ministers who courts have said are letting the country down, the public knows they are letting the country down, but still keep them in your cabinet? So it's got to be a question. It's got to be a question why this has been done. But this is where we are. We will work with Minister Gigaba, absolutely. And hopefully we would want to discuss with him staying the course. The path that Minister Gordon and John has set in the last 18 months or so, 16 months or so, has been a good one. We avoided the downgrade. We put together the SME fund. We're getting a youth employment thing going. I was with the minister on the roadshow last year. Absolute credibility was invested in rating agencies. And let's keep to that path. And we hope that the new minister and deputy minister do keep to that path.
Kaz Kovadia, thank you. Managing Director of the Banking Association of South Africa. There's not the panic there was after Des van Rooyen was appointed as finance minister. Those 4 days were absolute hell. Today there's this resignation. This like, well, we knew it was coming. Well, we better make the best of a bad situation. That's what it seems to be. And certainly the decision by the president to fire Pravin Gordhan and Ntlebisi Jonas was radical. It was absolutely about the economy, or at least in the mind of the president, control of the economy, and certainly was most certainly transformational. And it was radical in that it threw out the solid and dependable A team of ministers doing their job to keep the ratings agencies at bay. It was about the economy in that prudence of the SAC team restricted the ability of the president to get his fingers deeper into the cookie jar. It was transformational in the sense that it will do one of two things. Either it'll transform South Africa into a basket case, as predictably so many commentators have suggested it will, or it will speed up the transformation of South Africa into a post-Jacob Zuma state. And that is it. Radical, yep. Economic, yep. Transformation, yep. All three of those boxes are ticked. But I like what Peter Bruce this evening has put on social media. With no strategy and having run out of road, Zuma is doomed. Do you agree? 31702-31567.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
I don't know, can you bear it? Garth Curry from Sanlam Private Wealth. I don't know if you can bear it. But very clearly today, just spell out for me, please, what the market means when you look at an overall decline of just a fraction, okay, just a 200-point decline, yet bank shares were down 6%, retail shares were down 4 or 5%, and the rest of the market was fairly robust. Explain. That's your job tonight.
Good evening, Bruce. Fair part of our market is actually in rand hedges. So what that means is, you know, your big companies like Anglo American, British Tobacco, Naspers, Richemont, earnings are in foreign currency. So those shares went up today with the rand appreciating. Probably the biggest drop in weekly move since 2015 of minus 9%. So most of those rand hedge companies actually had a good bounce. Now, the banks, of course, are, because of this, is, you know, one of the biggest, the week, this whole week was about the political moves on the market and the downgrading, potential downgrading next week when the Fitch has already put out a statement, as you've seen, and Moody's are to meet with their government next week, Friday, and decide where we're going. There's more and more chance of a downgrade coming, and that's causing those SA companies with SA earnings, RAND earnings, to come under pressure.
Yeah, and that's the trouble, and also a lack of confidence in the South African economy, the lack of confidence in the stability of the financial system, if and when that downgrade comes, because when a downgrade comes, all kinds of hell, financial market hell, are unleashed, including the fact that the cost of our debt will rise. And this week we've seen the cost of that debt rise quite sharply, Garth, taking billions out of the government purse, billions out of the ability of the government to spend on basic things like, I don't know, pick two, health and education, maybe security is another one. But that money has been removed from South Africa's coffers forever to pay a higher interest bill on the huge debt burden that we have, because the president thought it was a good idea to mess with the treasury.
Correct, Bruce. I mean, this is exactly what's happening on the debt side. And, you know, our government bonds have slipped out closer to 9%, 8.88% at the end of the day.
Okay. Now, government bonds have slipped out to 8.8 or 9%. Where were they at the beginning of the week?
Stronger than 8? Just above 8, Bruce.
Just above 8. So a 4 percentage point weakening or rise in the rate, which means that the money we're borrowing is costing us 1% more than it cost us on Monday.
Pretty much, Bruce. That's pretty close to that.
But and that's how many billion rand? What, 6 billion rand? How much is that?
No, Bruce, it's quite a lot more. Probably 160 billion.
No, in terms of the consequence, the monthly consequence of that could be as much as 6 billion rand.
Correct.
Yeah, it's big. It's a huge and significant increase. And this is how politics affects the back pocket of ordinary South Africans. It's how politics affects the fact that money then has to be siphoned out of the economy in order to pay higher interest rates, because politicians mess with what is working in the economy. And it's a disgrace. Very quickly, this is not reshuffle related, and I'm delighted that it's not reshuffle related. But what is shuffling a lot lower is Life Healthcare. They came out on Wednesday. They issued new shares at a big discount to the ruling share price. And ever since then, the share price of Life Healthcare has been in terminal decline.
Bruce, it's a whole sector. I think it's been just about in decline. It has been in decline. I mean, there's also other talk of Brian Joffe coming out with another project coming out with Long for Life, where he's going to look into restaurants and also into retirement villages.
He's also Sorbet, the beauty business, Ian Furr's business, is going to be part of Brian Joffe's empire, new empire.
But anything under the SA earnings that have been having in the pharmaceutical side and your banking sector, and of course your retailers, have been under pressure because of the reshuffling. But the biggest intimate of that is emphasis is all the companies that in South Africa are saying, do I invest more money in the economy when we're unsure? And basically it also affect all jobs, of course, going forward, because if you're not investing in the economy and you've got less money to spend on the economy, you're going to have less jobs. And that's the sentiment that drives this economy.
And companies are saying, you want us to do what? Are you crazy? Garth Curry, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce.
From Sanlam Private Wealth. The Money Show, brought to you by Old Mutual. Do great things. Dr. Adrian Saville, professor at GIVS, chief strategist at Citadel. How are you feeling this evening, Adrian Saville? Some 18 hours after the deed was done of sacking Pravin Gordhan and his deputy, Kabisi Jonas.
A little tender and perhaps a bit punch drunk. What an extraordinary course of events from 6:30 last night to 6:30 tonight.
Now, give me a sense of what the consequences of this action are. There's lots of speculation about it, but you've done the academic studies, you've lived economies, you've lived markets for an awfully long time as part of your career. Just paint for me the most likely scenario over the next month or two.
The immediate impact is the consequence for confidence and for nerves. Nerves are jangled and confidence has been pushed down because this uncertainty has been elevated. It turns what is ideally a very certain, stable and to the fullest extent possible knowable environment into a bit of a casino. And the way in which Praveen Gordhan was recalled, that the recall was shrouded in mystery, and that it was played as a guessing game to the last minute, although everyone knew what the game was, it just doesn't help. It doesn't help investor confidence in a country which is desperately in need of fresh capital allocated to new projects. It raises the cost of borrowing. So that's the immediate term. It's the hard to see stuff called risk, anxiety, uncertainty. The longer term implications are the ones I think to really worry about. And I'm of the view that as things stand, unless there is a material reversal or change in events, as things stand, there's a good chance that South Africa's long-standing downgrade eventually comes. How quickly things change. Remember our conversation from end of last year, where that rating downgrade was averted, and I argued that we would stay away from the agencies. I think that this puts the nail in that coffin, that the agencies have been on the front foot but forgiving, saying, you need to redress the unemployment, sagging growth, fiscal constraints, etc. But because of institutional strength and robustness, we're going to give you a free pass through this one. And Zuma has thumbed his nose at that free pass and compromised institutional strength. So I think in the next couple of months, we are likely to see one, if not more, of the agencies downgrade. And that will raise the cost of borrowing. A little further out, you'll see evidence of pass-through inflation, which is the imported inflation.
Adrian Saville, I must hit pause there, and I'm not sure if we'll manage to get back to you because I've just been joined by Praveen Gordhan. Praveen Gordhan, nice to have you on The Money Show this evening under some very difficult circumstances, and I thank you very much for coming through. How are you feeling this evening?
Good evening, Bruce, and good evening to your listeners. I'm fine, Bruce. It's been a difficult year and a half or so, in many senses, but it's also been a rewarding 1.5 years. So one was able to contribute with the team to all the things that we've talked about on your show or in budget. And it would have been nice to receive a phone call, like my colleagues Hanukkah, Ramath Lodi, and others, to tell us our services are not required any longer. But anyway, we had to hear on TV that you don't have to call me minister any longer.
You've been nothing but supportive of the president throughout your tenure, your first period as finance minister, always paying respect to the president in budget speeches. They've always, when you were removed the first time as finance minister, then brought back, always deferential to the president throughout your career as a minister in various guises, during your time at SARS as well. What went wrong in your mind in the relationship, well, certainly the president's relationship with you rather than your relationship with the president? Yours seems to have been very respectful and deferential. You didn't seem to get the same sort of respect back.
I don't know. I suppose he's the only person that could answer that. But one can speculate that there's all of these rumors about an intelligence report, which I'm sure you've seen, which was offered as a reason to other ANC officials for dispensing with my contribution. And as I said at the press conference this afternoon, if that's the basis, then as the Deputy President and the Secretary General of the ANC have said, it's a very frivolous basis. That's the one. And the other we can all speculate about in terms of who else has an interest in making sure that the Treasury doesn't stand firm by the Constitution, the PFMA, and its obligations to all South Africans.
Is the Treasury now in safe hands, Minister? I mean, I beg your pardon, Praveen, sorry, a backbencher, Gordhan. is the Treasury in safe hands?
No, I think the officials have been doing a fantastic job. The incoming gentleman in the ministry will have to answer your question. And
what is your opinion? What is your? Do you have any concern?
No, I think it's their record must speak for themselves, and they need to appear on your show and pass your rigorous tests, Bruce. But I hope that we will all keep the national interest in mind. And our economy is not out of the woods, so there's a lot of work to do in both inspiring confidence and getting local and foreign investment so that we can create jobs and bring new technology into the country.
Do you think a ratings downgrade is more likely now than you did first thing on Monday morning when you woke up in London?
Yeah, well, we had very good conversations in London with Moody's and Fitch at a face-to-face level and S&P through a teleconference. And as we've said to you constantly, I think our numbers, although modest, in terms of growth and
You know what I'm asking.
Yeah, I know. And I'm getting to it. I think your listeners must also have context. Those numbers are fine, but they have also, in the recent past, raised very directly the question of political stability and continuity of policy. And if they feel that the recent events jeopardize that, then they'll take a dim view of us. So let's wait for next week. I think one of them actually are going to make their official view known.
Do you intend remaining an ANC Member of Parliament?
Yes, for now. But, you know, we've just finished one chapter in my not-so-short life. So we'll remain in Parliament and then make some decisions about where we want to go.
I'm sure your wife, Pravin Gordhan, is going to be delighted. She never wanted you to have the job in the first place. She knew what was coming. I wish you a peaceful weekend, and I hope you don't get home this evening. She says, "I told you so."
Well, you know, I didn't, as I've said, which is important for your listeners as well, I didn't apply for this job. I was asked to help the country after 9/12 and Mr. Nene's departure or forced departure and the way in which the markets behave. And we've done our national duty. So on the one hand, I'm grateful that I was given the opportunity. And on the other hand, I didn't need the hawks in my life.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they leave you alone now. Pravin Gordhan, private citizen, backbench MP. I don't think we've ever had an ordinary backbench MP on The Money Show. Quick word from you, Rian LaRue, listening to that, head of economic research at Old Mutual Investment Group. Pravin Gordhan doesn't sound overly confident that his successor is going to take us down a stable path.
Bruce, yeah, that is my concern also. I've termed what happened last night nothing else than radical economic sabotage. You know, I think there are a couple of things you need to be concerned about. I think the first thing is rating agencies. As Pravin referred to, you know, Fitch put out a thing today where they said, look, we told you in November we're concerned that political instability could affect governance, the economy, or public finances. And I think, you know, danger is all three of them get affected. So that is certainly a serious concern. But what really concerns me is, I think your other speakers alluded to it also, not only the short-term shock to the economy in terms of confidence. So, you know, the economy will do better because agriculture is going to recover and commodity prices are higher. But it may be offset or even more offset by a further collapse in private investment spending, which is already contracted by 10% over the past 2 years. So that is the short term. The longer term is, you know, we're just not going to get the confidence back to grow the economy faster. And I think, you know, if we do get downgraded, which I think the chance must increase substantially, then you've got to say to yourself, you know, the rand falls again, inflation rises, interest rates rise, and who suffers the most? It's the poor. Now, you know, the issue is the president either does not understand these things or he doesn't care. Either way, you know, that's not what you expect from a president, quite the contrary. So I think this whole issue is, you know, there are short-term complications, and I think I'm far more concerned about the longer term, and especially if we were to get downgraded, and not only once, but a couple of times, then I think we're in for big trouble.
Archbishop Thabo Makgoba this evening describing the reshuffle as an assault on the poor. I mean, he's not far wrong, is he?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I said. I mean, what typically happens is, you know, if you get this kind of thing and the rand was to weaken because the currency is always your prime adjustment mechanism to adjust to a crisis. then, you know, typically what happens, inflation rises and it's the poor that can't protect themselves. And, you know, interest rates will rise and so on. And that's precisely what it is. So, you know, people with offshore investments today found that they're actually wealthier than 2 days ago simply because the rand values of the things have gone up. And that is not the case for the poor. So, you know, that's why I said the president either does not care or he does not understand.
Rian Leroux, thank you. The head of economic research at the Old Mutual Investment Group. Who said the changes bring some younger MPs and women into the national executive in order to benefit from their energy, experience and expertise? Craig?
Jacob Zuma.
How old is Jacob Zuma at his next birthday, Craig?
I think 75 or something.
He'll be 75 on the 12th of April. Yeah, he could have brought down the average age of the cabinet in other ways, one thinks. Who said our souls are not for sale?
Former finance minister, Pravin Gordhan.
Absolutely right. He said that at a media briefing earlier on today, and we've just had him on The Money Show. Thank you, Pravin. And then, who said, I felt like this list had been developed somewhere else and was given to us to legitimize it? And he was very grumpy about it.
That was the Secretary General of the ANC. His name slips me at the moment. Greater Montashe.
Whoa! Craig. Craig. And who said this afternoon, Mbalula is the minister of Twitter and Gigaba the minister of Instagram? He's a shadow of his former self, this guy. Mbalula is the minister of Twitter and Gigaba the minister of Instagram. Which fighting, talked, fiery MP might have said that?
Malema.
There we go. Craig, you're the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz this evening. Thank you for playing the game. Thank you for coming through for us this evening. And sorry to everybody else, because Craig was completely on fire this evening as he played the Brutal Biz Quiz and identified the quotes. Another quote we were hoping to get to but didn't. I will stay and serve the people. Who said that? No, it wasn't Jacob Zuma. It was Cyril Ramaphosa. Although I'm sure Jacob Zuma intends exactly the same thing. Well done to you, Craig. If you, when you...